Well, praise the Lord today, everybody. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 5, Mark 5, and we're going to begin to read verses 25 through 34, and I want to talk to you today about the healing of a certain woman, and that's kind of interesting to me that we're really not told a name there. It just says a certain woman. We'll look at that in a moment. As we begin to read this scripture here in just a little bit, and we're reading about a woman who has a physical malady, and Jesus heals her physical body. And there are certain principles that we'll discuss that are involved in that physical healing. But I want us to understand also healing in a holistic sense. What do I mean by that? It's clear throughout the Bible that healing is a type also of other things. For this is point number one. Healing can be a type of many spiritual processes. And point number two is God cares about us, spirit, soul, and body. So God wants to bring healing to every area of our life. And so these principles that we're about to look at, even though the woman in the scenario is healed of a physical malady, the steps that she took to get there and the principles and concepts that are involved in her physical healing also apply to healing in the mind, healing in the will and the emotions of an individual, healing in the area of finances, healing in the area of our physical bodies like the woman, healing in our spiritual areas of life. This, you could correlate these principles even to someone who needs to get saved. You can see all of these processes of God in the story of this woman's healing, Mark chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 25. Here's what it says. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. That's a long time to battle a sickness. She had suffered many things of many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Here was this lady who 12 years, her body was under attack. And she gave all her money to the doctors who could provide her absolutely no cure whatsoever. And that's the way it is many times in our lives, especially when we talk about salvation and when we talk about those who need the Lord and have never met Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And they look for, like the old song says, they look for love in all the wrong places, and they look high and they look low and they try to find fulfillment. And they try to find satisfaction in education or in money or stuff or philosophy, this religion and that religion. And at the end of the day, they've spent their entire life and they haven't found salvation and they haven't found peace because they haven't found Jesus, because salvation and peace is only found in Jesus Christ. And so just like this woman had suffered all this time and gave all her money to doctors that couldn't help her. And then it says, when she heard of Jesus, glory be to God. How many knows today that that's what this world needs? More than ever before, the world needs to hear about Jesus. We need to tell them about Jesus. Oh, yes, we do. We need to lay aside our petty little problems and our petty little disagreements. Lay aside our little grievances and our little wounded spirits and put it aside and just start telling the world about Jesus. Start telling the world that Jesus saves, that Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost, that Jesus heals, and Jesus is coming again. Now that's the gospel in a nutshell. Glory be to God. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind him and touched his garment. I like that. For she said, now here's this woman saying something. She said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. There is a determination in her voice. There is a faith stance in her voice right here. And straightway, when she said that, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Jesus already knew who did it. I believe that he perceived it by a gift of the Holy Spirit. Because you got to remember now, Jesus was in his flesh body. And I believe he was anointed by the Holy Spirit without measure. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So Jesus was anointed with the same Holy Spirit that we can be, oh glory to God, anointed with today. And so Jesus, through a gift of the Spirit, I believe he knew, but he was doing something here. Watch this. But the woman, in verse 33, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And I want to tell you something. Whether you need healing today or deliverance, maybe you have a habit that you need to be healed of, delivered from today. Maybe you have an issue in your body. Maybe you have an issue in your marriage or your home. Or your finances, whatever the case might be, honesty before God is your first step into your miracle. Glory be to God. You cannot get from God a miracle that you might desperately need if you deny that you have a need and deny that you have a problem. You must be honest before the Lord. And this woman came and she threw herself at Jesus' feet. She knew who to worship, didn't she? Glory be to God. Sometimes I wish we in the church would quit running around trying to get help from every institution and trying to get the help that man can give. And if we'd get on our face before God and throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus and receive the help of heaven, hallelujah, our problems would be solved. But what do we do so often? You know, we have a financial need, we call the banker. We have a physical need, we call the doctor. And I'm not against bankers or doctors. And if you need them, by all means, go to the doctor. And by all means, get your bills taken care of. But what I'm saying is, this woman's, after 12 years of struggle, after 12 years of spending all of her money on worthless medical situations, she goes, her reaction was, "I'm going to Jesus." Our first reaction, you see, we're saved. We're born again by the Spirit of God. So our first reaction should be, when I have a problem, is not to go to the help that man can give first, but go to God first. And if God leads you to a man, then wonderful. That's great. But go to God first. Honor God with your lives, people, because he wants to do great and mighty things in you. She came and fell down before him, told him all the truth, and he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." Listen to that. Thy faith has made you whole. Say it again. Your faith has made you whole. Oh, glory to God. How many knows the scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please God? You can't please him in doubt and unbelief. You can't please God with whining and complaining. You can't please God by bearing grudges and talking about how you've been wronged. You can't please God in any of those ways. Faith pleases God. And faith takes the word of God at face value and begins to speak forth life and speak forth deliverance and healing and faith and power. Glory to God. This woman threw herself at the feet of Jesus and began to speak forth a worship. She told Jesus her entire story. Praise God. He said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now I want you to notice some things about this woman. First of all, she heard Jesus. And I want to tell you something, preacher. You'll get what you preach, too. If you preach salvation, people will get saved. They've got to hear about Jesus. If you preach healing, people will be healed because they've got to hear about Jesus. If you preach being filled with the Holy Ghost, people will get filled with the Holy Ghost. You get what you preach. She heard of Jesus, number one. God is moving. And sometimes people will hear about places where God is moving, and but they never go. They hear about it. So on the heels of hearing about Jesus, we've got to act on what we hear. And we're talking about faith, and we're talking about, do you need a healing in your life? And remember, I told you today that even though this woman in our biblical account here in St. Mark, this woman got a physical healing, these principles apply to healing in every area of our lives, whether it's physical or domestic or financial or whatever. When we hear of Jesus, we've got to act on what we've heard. Secondly, she decided, she made a quality decision to do something about her condition. She didn't just leave it up to somebody else to take care of it for her. I will just wait until somebody opens a door for me. No. She went to Jesus. She made a quality decision to do something about her condition. Here it is in verse 26. She said she had suffered many things. She was nothing bettered. Verse 27, she heard of Jesus. She went to Jesus. And she came behind in the press. And she said, "If I can but just touch his clothes, I will be whole." So she heard about Jesus. She acted on what she heard. She decided to do something about her condition. You know, a lot of times people get sick and they get mad. They get mad because the pastor didn't see it on social media or didn't come to their house to inquire about them or whatever and so forth. No. You come the Bible way, please. The Bible said if you are sick, you call for the elders of the church. And they'll pray the prayer of faith. They'll anoint you with oil and the Lord will raise you up. Now, that's what the Bible says. So don't get it backwards. And I mean, sometimes you just look for any old reason to be upset about something, you know. They're not supposed to try to keep track of you. If you have a need, you're supposed to call them. You're supposed to make them aware of your need. And then they are supposed to join in the prayer of faith. Amen? So let's do it the Bible way. This woman did it the Bible way. That's in James 5 and 14. She decided to do something about her condition. Thirdly, she forgot all of her failures to get well in the past. Remember, it said for 12 years, she had this problem. She could not get better. And, you know, you can't get great things from God by grumbling, complaining, and saying it never works. Now, that faith stuff don't work for me. I'll tell you, I tried quoting the scripture at it 3 times, but nothing happened. Well, no, nothing happened. Because you got to be persistent. You got to, you know, it took this woman 12 years to get to this place. At any point along the way, she could have given up. She could have succumbed to her illness if she would have got hopeless about her condition. And so that's another point, is that we need to offer people, as preachers of the gospel, and listen, I am not a preacher who believes that we should never address anything negative. You know me better than that. You have to address the negative in order to even get to the positive. But at the same time, in addressing even the negative, we should always offer people the hope of the gospel. And I heard a pastor say the other day, actually I read this somewhere, and he's right. He said, if you preach the gospel, and you preach about salvation, and you preach about Jesus Christ for salvation, but you don't give the people an opportunity to be saved right then and there, then you haven't really preached the gospel. And so even when we're dealing with negative things in our world today and issues that need to be addressed, but somewhere in there, we need to present people with the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen? The hope of the gospel that can set them free and save their souls and change their lives. And so God will respond to faith. You can't get great things from God by grumbling and saying it will never work. This woman forgot 12 years of failure to get well. And she did not even consider, number four, whether she was worthy or unworthy of a great miracle from this great teacher, Jesus Christ. You have to believe that Jesus can and that Jesus will do what he promised. And it's not based on how you have performed or lived your life. If it were, I dare say that none of us would receive anything from the Lord because we've all been bad. God has a bunch of bad kids, okay? The human being is depraved. All of us. We all need the mercy of God. We all need forgiveness. We all need to be restored to relationship with God. And so that's why we never look down on those who are struggling. We never look down on anyone unless it's to extend a hand of help to them to pull them up to where they need to be. And that goes back to offering that hope of the gospel again. This woman, she didn't sit there and think, well, am I worthy enough to go see Jesus? Am I unworthy? Should I do it or should I not? We come to Jesus because Jesus says, come. Amen. It's not too late for me to press through to my miracle because this woman didn't consider it too late for her miracle after 12 years. God is a right now God. And so we don't give up. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is. And so we know that faith Not only now faith is, but faith is now. Hallelujah. Faith will meet up with us in the moment of time that we're in right now. And faith will place a demand upon the anointing of Jesus. And Jesus, he stopped when he felt that virtue go out of him. I'm telling you today, when faith will place a demand on the anointing, and it will cause Jesus to stop doing what he's doing, and look at you. I can't remember what great preacher it was right off the top of my head that said one time, he said that God will pass over thousands of unbelievers to find one man with faith. And I'll tell you, we have to have that faith in God in the hour that we're living in today. You see, I do believe that there can still be a revival in America. I do believe that America is still worth saving. I do believe that the church in America can still make an impact in our culture. What is that? That's faith in God's ability. It's not because of us as the church, but I have faith in God's ability that he will do what he's promised that he would do. And that's what will stop God. I mean, he'll stop making worlds to look at a guy who's operating in faith. She did not say, this woman, I have no one to help me. She didn't moan or complain. She didn't have a negative outlook about other people. She did not blame other people. She instead had steps of faith and she touched Jesus. Glory to God. You know, the excuse, the man who was waiting for the moving of the waters, and he gave the excuse, when the waters are troubled, I have nobody to help me to get down into the water to be healed by the angel. Well, first of all, the angel wasn't doing the healing. It was probably Christ. And it was probably more of a legend that was told in that day because prayer would heal people in the Old Testament just like prayer would heal people in the New Testament. But they had this thing that they were waiting for some angel to come and heal him. And this guy wanted to be made well, but he couldn't get down into the water. And he began to blame others. And he began to have an accusation in his voice that nobody will help me. How many people today are wasting their life and wasting their gifts, talents, and abilities by blaming other people for their own problems? Nobody made you have the attitude that you have. That's your problem. Your problem is your problem, and it has nothing to do with me whatsoever. But this woman, she didn't use an excuse. She did not complain. She just started walking steps of faith. And she got to Jesus and touched him, and she was healed. This woman discovered healing, that it takes determination, courage, and a good attitude to receive from God. I want to say that again. In order to receive from God what you need today, I don't care what it is, because we're using the healing in a holistic sense. And these principles apply to virtually anything we would want to receive from the Lord. First of all, we have to go to Him in humility. Remember, she cast herself at His feet. She told Him all the truth. We have to be honest with God about our need. We have to go in faith, believing, you know, hey, I've been through 12 years. I've given all my money to these crazy doctors, and none of them have been able to help me, but Jesus can help me. I have faith in that. If I can just touch Him, if I can just touch Him, I'll be made whole. Somehow she recognized who He was, perhaps. Somehow she recognized at least the anointing upon His life. And she said, I know that if I touch Him, I'll be made well. So we come in humility. We come with a repentant heart and attitude. We come in faith. We come not blaming others for the problems that we're having. Whether, you know, if it's financial problems, it's nobody's fault but mine. The buck stops here. If it's physical maladies, look, you know, I need to deal with this. I can't expect somebody else to do it for me. If it's spiritual issues, listen, I can't get saved on Grandpa's faith. I have to receive Jesus Christ for myself. So we come with this determination, this good attitude, and we come to Him with courage, because He will receive us. So we understand that, you know, the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy to help in time of need. So I don't have to be afraid that if I go to God, He will stomp me. No, He won't. We don't have to be afraid of that. We can come with boldness. We can come with great courage, knowing that our Heavenly Father wants to help us. He wants to minister His healing to our lives and apply it to whatever area that we need. Miracles of any kind come to those who are willing to take the steps. There are no shortcuts with God. And here's where we get into a little bit of an issue sometimes with some people. Because sometimes people want to say, well, God should just do it and I shouldn't have to do anything. After all, we're living under grace. Don't use grace as an excuse to not do your part of the covenant, friend. Because we are under grace, and while it is true that we can't earn anything with God, and while it is true that we can never be good enough to warrant anything from God, there are some steps in the Word that He says we must take to see that miracle power come to pass in our life. And it's just simply called obedience. Grace doesn't do away with obedience. And you can look at it this way. Let's say your need is a financial need. Okay? So yeah, you're under grace, but that doesn't mean that you can just go overspend payday after payday after payday, spend $1,000 more than you make week after week, and that grace is going to somehow cover it. That's foolhardy. It's the same way with healing of the physical body. You know, just because God has mercy on you and heals you 1, 2, 3, 10, 5, 20 times doesn't mean that you can continue to pour nicotine into your lungs by smoking cigarettes and expect to not get lung cancer. That's foolhardy. It's foolhardy to consume alcoholic beverage and think that you're going to live a healthy life. It's foolhardy. But yes, you are under grace. But grace equips you to live holy. Grace equips your mind to make godly choices and godly decisions, to understand the book and to have the Holy Spirit apply that wisdom to your heart. And then you act on that heart knowledge that you just received from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit. See, that's what grace does. So yes, we're under grace, but there are still some things that we have to do in order to be obedient to the Word of the Lord. And when we are willing to take the steps, miracles will come. Just like it did to this woman here. She went, she was made whole. We will be made whole also. When we come by faith, come with determination, come with a good attitude, come with courage, not blaming others, not moaning and complaining, coming with a good outlook on life, not considering our worthiness or our unworthiness, just considering Jesus and what he did at the cross. When we've come having forgotten our past failures to get it right, when we come after having decided to do something about the condition we're in, after we hear of Jesus, then we determine that we're going to act upon what we've heard. When all this is coming together, then the Holy Spirit comes and he performs the miracle that we need in our life. And so I challenge you today, and I leave you with this hope today and this encouragement today, that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with in your life today, your answer is found only in Christ. And he has your answer. And as you come to him with humility and you ask him for his mind on your situation, and as he begins to reveal that to you, just take one step of faith after another and watch the miraculous things that God will do in your life. Heavenly Father, thank you for this few short moments with the people today. God, I ask that you bless them. I ask that you touch them. I ask that you heal them. Lord, I ask that you prosper them in Jesus' name. I ask that for those who don't know the Lord as their Savior today, oh God, that you would speak to them and save them today and cause them to come to Jesus and ask him into their heart today. Oh God, I just thank you so much for this few moments, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody would say, amen and amen.